Hey, great to be here.
Now, this coaching caper, mate, pretty easy, huh?
I wish it was that easy. You see the tiniest points of the iceberg, but everything underneath the water is pretty extensive.
Yeah.
It's like that duck analogy where all you see is the coasting on the top, but the legs are flapping like mad underneath.
Well, whatever you're doing, flapping underneath is obviously working, though, because you're sitting atop the table, and yes, it's a very tight table, but better to be at the top looking down than the other way.
Yeah, exactly right. I think, you know, the results are fantastic, but qualitatively we're playing some really good basketball, and that's probably been the focus from day dot is can we begin with the end in mind and put a style offensively and defensively that can, you know, be successful in a really important game against good opposition. And we've been trying to trend in that direction, and the wins have been coming as a result.
Yeah. Now, it was only a game in top spot, but you mentioned those other quantitative things that you're putting into place, you know, points for and against, winning percentage. They're very good, and particularly as it looks like it's going to be a very tight end of the season, you know, they could ultimately make the difference.
It really could, and it's you know, it's a challenge to try to keep that ticking over. I think the most pleasing thing for me has probably been the team's assist count. So while, you know, we've got quite a bit of top line talent on our roster, and we're very blessed with some great players like the Kelly Wilsons and Tess Magins, Abby Wierungs, Megan McKay, Cass McLean, the ball is getting shared. You know, even the likes of Maddie Sexton have come on and played some really critical roles for us, Aaron Condren, Sade Sharp, Taylor Stibbe, etc. But we lead the league in that assist count, as I mentioned, where the ball is, you know, being able to be, you know, flying around and getting to people at the right time and on target, and with time and space advantages for us to be able to get, you know, that type of a points differential and put ourselves in positions to win. So, you know, while we've got individual talent, everybody gets a chance, quote unquote, to eat within our offense.
Yeah. I guess with a lot of sports, you know, you aim to make the difference between a great game and a not-so-great game as narrow as possible. You know, along with those assists, what do you think have been some of the keys? Because it's a very well-balanced-looking team now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's probably a trend. There's a little bit of, I guess, an in-vogue word to call basketball positionless in the modern age, and certainly that's something that we try to do. So we've got an offensive system, but then in terms of our player development, which underpins everything that we do, we prepare all players regardless of size, athleticism, strength, speed, etc., to be able to play close to the basket, away from the basket, to be able to get people open with screens on or away from the ball, to be somebody who's able to hit a pass on time and on target, and then be able to shuffle, you know, from side to side within the court so that we're able to keep spacing for people to operate. So we prepare everybody for everything, and it's allowed us to be successful, but then also plug and play in the absence of players with, you know, whether it be injury or some foul trouble, or you know, with the likes of Tess Magins going off to the Australian Opals camps and what have you, we've been able to plug and play with other players, and, you know, everybody comes in with the readiness to contribute and, you know, and feeling prepared and confident to do so.
Yeah, no, it's very true. You know, when I worked for the Melbourne Tigers, and I know it's a male analogy now, but, you know, you'd have players, Warwick Giddey was one, like, fantastic player, played 500-600 NBL games, what have you. But if he got the ball near the top of the arc, no one would even bother to go and guard him, because he was just that bad with the three-pointer. Whereas, you know, if you can get to the stage where, as you say, everybody are sort of all-rounders, it really is a headache for the defense of the other team.
Well, it really is, and it's interesting you bring up that analogy. So Warwick Giddey was quite popular. I mean, we run the same offense, a modernized version of that Melbourne Tigers offense, which is actually called the Shuffle, or the Shuffle offense. The Giddey type role for us, you know, in the past 2 years had been Piper Dunlop a year ago. So then, you know, people probably tried to play her similarly that they did Warwick Giddey back in the day. So we put her in positions to cut to the basket, get within her shooting range, get her posting up. And then this year it's been Maddie Sexton who's come in and pinch hit at that position for us. And she's a little bit more of a threat from the perimeter. So she can actually shoot. I think she had 5 threes in last weekend's game. against Hobart, where they, the Hobart Chargers, tried that exact tactic of trying to stand off her and blow up all of the space in the Kiwi so that, you know, Megan McKay and Abby Wirrung couldn't operate. But, yeah, Maddie Sexton was able to make them pay from the perimeter.
Yeah. Now, I should say, just in fairness to Wazza too, the great Andrew Gaze, there'd be a lot of baskets he wouldn't have got if it wasn't for Wazza feeding them to him as well. So he certainly had a huge role, and one of the nicest blokes you'd ever meet too. Just wonderful man. Anywho, now, tonight at the Red Energy Arena, you've got the Mount Gambier Pioneers. First versus third, 5 o'clock game. So this is going to be no easy one either.
Yeah, you know, it's really cliche to say there's no easy games in this competition, but it really is the truth. I think when you look down the line of the ladder, 10, 11, 12 teams deep, there's some really, really elite talent. And it's the NBL 1 competition nationally that's littered with the most international caliber players or the most WNBL players. So, I mean, you even look as deep as, 11th and 12th on the ladder, Keylor and Eltham. Well, there's Matty Garrick, who played for us at the Spirit, and Annalie Maley, who was the league's MVP in those teams. And, you know, they're only a few wins out of the finals race. But, you know, where you stretch top to bottom, there's no easy games. And this Mount Gambier team, you know, while there's probably not the star power in terms of names, they've got two exceptional imports and a young core that train and play together on a daily basis. And they're having a heck of a season. The sum of the parts is far greater than them individually. And I'm really looking forward to the challenge of tonight's game to see where we stack up against, you know, an athletic team that plays the game the right way.
Yeah. We'll watch with interest. And, Mark, as always, we wish you the very best and appreciate taking the time on game day to have a chat to us on the Sideline View.
Anytime. Thanks so much.